Hi everyone, Drew Perot here, host of the Broken Brain Podcast. Today is Big Idea Tuesday, where I come to you with a thought, an idea, a distinction, a message that has radically changed my life. I pick topics that are foundational, that are not trendy, that are core to our experience as human beings. Today's topic is one of those. Why we're so lonely and five things we can do to turn it around. You know, there's not that many things that have an impact, as high of a level of impact on our average daily level of happiness than deep and meaningful relationships and a sense of being understood. There's not that many things that can impact our mental health and also our physical health. Lonely people are more likely to get sick or more likely to stay sick longer. Check out the references in the show notes for the link on that. There's not that many things that have that level of impact. And yet, I'm gonna read you something that I wrote a couple years ago. So much attention goes into finding the perfect job and the right life partner, but not enough on finding quality friends and creating a supportive community. The truth is, we just don't talk about friendships and loneliness and the impact that they have on our average daily level of happiness. If we took 5% of the mental energy we spend looking for the right wife, partner, husband, job, whatever it might be, and invested that into creating deep and meaningful connections, our lives would be so different. You know, when we have amazing friendships that have our back and we have a sense of connection, which is the antidote to loneliness. You know, by the way, for anybody that thinks that loneliness is somebody sitting in a dark corner of a room who has no friends at all and is a total introvert and is just twiddling their thumbs or scrolling social media or playing video games, that's not loneliness. So many of the surveys that are out there, there's one big one from Cigna that I'm going to jump into. The insurance company Cigna did a survey on 20,000 individuals, and they found that people that are lonely identify as being lonely even if they have a lot of friends in their life, even if they have a lot of family in their life. So loneliness is not just the absence of friends and family and being a sole person. It is the absence of deep and meaningful connections, connections that make us feel understood. So the first thing to get over is to ask ourselves honestly, do we regularly feel lonely, left out, or misunderstood? If you do, you're in that bucket of somebody who would be identified as part of this loneliness epidemic. I know that I have in my life severely struggled at times with that exact thing. There's been times where I felt left out, even though I had a ton of friends. There's times that I felt misunderstood, which was the biggest theme for me. Feeling like I have an intention and purpose and goals and dreams in my life, but I don't necessarily have the friends and relationships that I feel are a reflection of that. It's okay to admit it, because once we admit it and we set the intention that we want to do something about it, we can actually begin to do something about it. So let's just review a few of the stats that are out there that will help you understand how big of an epidemic this is. And then we'll talk about five things that we can do to turn it around today to create deeper, more meaningful relationships in our life that help us with our goals and dreams. So first off, nearly half, and this comes from Cigna's survey of 20,000 adults. This is from 2018, but they update it every year in their loneliness index, and I found it to be one of the most robust surveys that's being done. So nearly half of Americans report sometimes or always feeling alone, 46%, or 47% feeling regularly left out. One in four Americans, 27%, rarely or never feel as though there are people who really understand them. That's loneliness. Two in five Americans sometimes or always feel that their relationships are not meaningful and that they are isolated from others. You could know everybody in your neighborhood. You could be a cheerful person on the outside. Somebody would look at you and say, they have so many friends. But if internally you feel a sense of disconnection or misunderstood, that can make us feel lonely. One in five people report that they rarely or never feel close to people. That's 20%. Or feel like they don't have people in their lives that they could talk to, That's 18% of Americans. Americans who live with others are less likely to be lonely. That's a good news. Average loneliness score of 43.5 compared to those who live alone. In our society right now, we're waiting longer to get married. We're waiting longer to have kids. Those things contribute statistically on a national level and a world level to our level of loneliness. There's many good reasons why people wait to have kids or wait to have or find the right partner in life. So there's no judgment on that. Only around half of Americans have a meaningful, that's 53% according to the survey, have a meaningful in-person social interactions, such as having extended conversations with a friend or spending quality time with friends and family on a daily basis. So only half of people have that regular daily interaction that actually is one of the factors that contribute to the sense of not feeling alone. So now that we know some of the stats that are out there, you can ask yourself genuinely, do you identify with any of those? And it's okay if you do, because again, when we are aware of it, we can do something about it. So now that we understand that loneliness is not just being in a dark corner and not having any friends and no social skills, you could be the most charismatic person in the world and still feel a deep sense of loneliness because you feel misunderstood. Now the question becomes, what can we do about it? So the antidote to loneliness is not more of the same, especially if you have great friends and people that are in your life. It's about deeper connections. It's not about going wider. It's not about throwing more people in the mix. It's about going deeper, a sense of feeling understood. And that doesn't take a crazy amount of people in your life. This isn't about having 50 friends, close friends that you have to do and maintain all these relationships with. This is about having a few people in life that you feel deeply connected to. So here's what I've noticed in my own life. When I have deep and meaningful friendships, whether they're immediately in person or whether that person lives across the globe and we've met through an online community, I feel a sense of I know my place in the world. I feel a sense of I can open up and share. I can talk about challenging things that are going on in my life and feel understood, even if the person doesn't have any advice for me. Just the idea that somebody's on the other end of it listening to you without judgment, which is part of a, you know, somebody being a good friend, makes you feel more understood. So I've put together 5 things that we can do today that are about creating deeper and more intentional friendships. Now, sometimes you can do these things with people that are already in your life. You don't have to discount the people that are already in your life. Sometimes if they're good people that you just don't see regularly or you don't have regular interactions with, it might just be applying these things to them and reconnecting. There's been people I've known for my entire life or for many years that I set the intention of, you know what? I want to be closer to this person because they make me a better person. I want to set the intention of being closer to them and I've reap the rewards of that relationship, feeling more understood, having support for my goals and dreams in life. So let's go to 1. These are designed, as I mentioned, even if you want to apply them to your current friends, fantastic, but they're primarily written for people who feel that they don't have any deep and meaningful relationship in their life. So how do they create intentional friendships and community from scratch? 1. Take inventory and follow up. Over the last 6 months or year, there's been somebody, everybody listening to this podcast, unless if they are in prison or jail, or unless if they're in some extreme isolation where they can't actually meet people, everybody listening to this podcast has met somebody in the last 6 months or a year that they just felt a connection with, that they felt that this person is the type of person that they want to spend more time with in their life. Even if it was a brief moment at a cocktail party where you only said hi, hello, you connected with them, you just got a good vibe. You thought, wow, I want to know more about this person. I want to get to know this person. I'd like to hang out with them. So the first thing that I say when people say, I don't know who to become friends with, like I have my family and they're good, or I have the friends that I had from growing up, or I know people at work, but I don't feel understood by those individuals. How do I make deep and meaningful friendships from scratch? 1, take inventory and follow up. Open up your calendar, go to your email, and this takes time, go month by month. Start with 6 months and go in reverse order. So it's January. Oh, it's February now. Happy February. Go to January. Who did you meet? Who did you connect with? Who did you interact with? Who did you get introduced to? Who did you run into at the coffee shop? Who have you seen? This might be somebody that you're taking for granted, somebody that you've known for a long time and you've always just got a good vibe, but because your schedules don't align or whatever factors might be there, your kids go to different schools, you just have not actually had a chance to truly connect. Write that person's name down. Go through January, go through December, go through November, continue back. And if you go through the majority of 2019, starting with January, you're going to find that there's at least a couple names. There's at least a couple names of people that would be perfect to follow up with. It doesn't mean that you're going to be best friends overnight or that you're going to have deep and meaningful relationships right away. But if we don't take inventory and follow up, we don't even have a shot. And my belief truly in helping hundreds of people do this is that the friendships that will help you get to the next level, which also means that you'll help them get to the next level, the friendships that will give you a deeper sense of connection, joy, and meaning in life, there's at least one or two people that are already in your world. You just have not followed up with them. So step one, take inventory. I talked about that. Step two, follow up. Hey, Tim, I know it's been a while since we ran into each other. It was good to see you at that coffee shop. Just putting this out there. Would love to get together sometime. You want to go on a hike? Or check out a baseball game, or grab coffee. We have to do the next thing when we follow up, which I'm dubbing as going on dates. You know, young men, societally and stereotypically in our society, are used to being the people that have the pressure on them that says, if you want to meet in a traditional heterosexual relationship, if you want to meet a great girl and see if there's potential, you got to ask her out. Every movie, every story, every novel, everything that's out there, right? Now, obviously, every gender has the ability to be the initiator, but just saying stereotypically, and I think, again, stereotypically, that seems to be what a lot of women would want. Hey, guy, take the initiative. You like me? Ask me out. So young men are used to this idea of if you like somebody, put out the intention, set up a date, have the courage. Even going for somebody, if they're not into you, people respect that you had the courage enough to ask them. So I want you to put yourself into that mentality. And I want you to think about creating new and deep and meaningful relationships in your life. Tongue-tied over here. I want you to think about creating new and meaningful and deep relationships in your life from that intention that if you want it, you have to go and create it. You have to ask people out on quote-unquote dates. This even goes for guys who want to be close to other guys and have more supportive friendships in their life and create a brotherhood of other dudes who have their back. You got to set an intention. You don't have to call it a date. You don't have to tell them, hey, I'm asking you out on a date. That's weird. You could just have that intention internally and you set up a time. Hey man, would love to hang out sometime. Let's go for a hike. Let's go do something. So many of the close friends in my life, many of you have heard me talk about this group of friends that meet every Thursday. It's about 6 to 8 guys here in Los Angeles that I'm super close to, all high power entrepreneurs who all support each other and lift each other up and talk to each other about what's working in life, but more importantly, what's not working in life. And we meet every Thursday at 7 a.m. somewhere here in Santa Monica or Los Angeles or Brentwood, and we go on a hike together and we talk about what's happening in our life. We open up. We lift each other up. We call each other up when there's challenging times that are there. We just ask the group to listen when we just need somebody to talk to. And the interesting thing is that even though that sounds like super soft or like if somebody who's a traditional, like old school, like what? That sounds weird. Like, what are you guys doing? On a practical level, every guy in the group has seen their income go up. Every guy has seen their mental health improve. The sense of connection and joy, especially in a big city like Los Angeles, where people are so busy, is truly profound. Every Thursday, and even in between Thursdays, I feel like I have a tribe that has my back. Even if you don't spend time with your friends on a daily basis, even if you don't have friends you connect with every single day, even though that's beautiful, a lot of us have busy lives and we're running companies and have kids and going to work and jobs and whatever else that's there. You don't need to see somebody every single day. So even if you see people once a week or every other week or once a month, there is something that happens in the body. And if you know about polyvagal theory and the sense of the internal nervous system feeling safe and secure when it reflects that other people are safe and secure around you, you know that biologically we are wired to know that everything is okay in the world when we look at other people around us. What happens when there's not other people around us that make us feel understood? Then we don't feel understood. We need other human beings to know our place in the world, and that's not just a big picture idea, that's on a biological level. So number two is going out on dates, setting that intention internally to say, asking somebody out to hang out, putting that intention and leading it. If you want amazing friendships in your life, you have to take initiative. Number three, go to where your tribe is / go to where people grow. There's a friend of mine, Lewis Howes, that we were interviewing for our docuseries, Broken Brain 2, that came out last year. And I asked him, you know, for Lewis, for people who are trying to create friendships from scratch, what's your number one piece of advice? He said, go to where people grow. Where are people in your local town or community going to get better? Is it salsa class? Is it Toastmasters, which is a speaking organization? Is it something like the Landmark Forum that I've mentioned before? Is it a painting class? Is it taking a college elective class that's out there, or some sort of other course that's there? When you go to where people grow and have a growth mindset, you're more likely to find people who want to better themselves and are also open, especially if it's something for beginners, they're also open to finding new and meaningful and deep connections in the context of that interest. There are a few organizations that are out there. There's a team member of mine, Ben Seatlin, who's our director of technology for the companies that Dr. Hyman and I have together. He's been going to something called Creative Mornings. That's in a bunch of big cities that are out there. You can look it up, Creative Mornings, just type it into Google. And I've never been, but it's where individuals who are in the creative community come together and talk about their work. And sometimes I think they have guest speakers. There's something called Daybreakers that another friend of ours started in New York City. And they're currently on tour, I believe, with Oprah. Daybreakers is a morning, sober, alcohol-free morning yoga and dance party that's hosted in cities all across the US. And there's something I believe called Rise and Shine that's very similar in the UK. And there's something called Reset in Canada, formerly known as Camp Reset. There's these different communities. And when you start asking around, you start to see that, wow, this is something that I could check out. Regardless of my age, regardless of my background, this is a community that's coming together that wants to better themselves. And if you're looking to find people who understand you and want to create new relationships, go to where people grow. It's easier to find them there rather than hoping that you just stumble upon them at work. Okay, number four. Making introductions and asking for introductions. If you move to a new city, which a lot of young professionals do multiple times in their lives, and older professionals too, but often when you graduate from college, why I say young professionals, it's that very common that if you had a good group of friends in college and then everybody moves on and goes somewhere else, you move to a new city for a new job, you have to create community from scratch. One of the best ways to do that is asking people for an introduction. There's so many times that somebody in your network already knows someone interesting in the city or the field or the area that you're moving into. So asking for introductions is simple. Connect and link up with people and ask them, hey, do you know anybody that I'm literally looking for new friends in my life. I'm wondering if you think of anybody that I'd be a good match with. When it comes to dating, we ask people all the time, hey, I'm single right now. I would love for you to set me up with somebody. That doesn't seem weird, maybe for some people, but it's pretty normal right now. Why is it weird to ask for an introduction when it comes to friendship? It's not weird. Don't make it weird. ask away. People ask me all the time. I just moved to the city. I'm looking to make new friends and connect with people. Would love an introduction. Now, on the flip side of that is making introductions. One of the fastest ways to grow your network is to bring people together. When you take two people in your life that are good people that you enjoy hanging out with, when you connect them, you do two very important things. Number one, you help somebody else who might feel that they're missing or they would like a few more friends in their life to feel more connection, more understanding. The second thing you do is you grow the overall strength of the network. Part of the reason that I created this group called Man Morning Thursday, which is a fun way to talk about the 6 to 8 guys that get together every Thursday. Part of the reason that I created that group is that I wanted those guys to all be friends. Well, let me add something. I proposed us hiking on a regular basis, and one of the guys was like, we should do this more regularly. And then they went without me, which was amazing. I love when friends hang out without me, genuinely, because they're becoming closer, which is going to make us closer as a group. One of the guys jokingly said, we should do this every Thursday. It's like Man Morning Thursday. I was like, that's funny. And it became a thing. And we've been doing it now. Often we get together 30 weeks out of 52 weeks in a year, which is pretty impressive. But it's because we set the intention. It's because it adds so much meaning into our life. It helps us when times are tough, when somebody has a kid who's premature, when somebody's business is not doing well and they need somebody to talk to, when somebody's having a fight in their relationship and they need somebody to help them walk through it or talk through it. This is why friendships and deep and meaningful friendships matter. They will make every area of your life better. So when you make introductions and get people together regularly, we already talked about the first part, you end up helping other people who are disconnected. But the second thing is you strengthen the overall connection of the group, which means that you're more likely to get together regularly, which turns into our last item, number 5, creating rituals. Because of our lives, and Cigna, in their study that they did, they just did a follow-up. You've probably seen the press releases on NPR and Fox and CNN. Cigna did a recent survey for loneliness in the workplace. And one of the things they found is because work is all consuming, we are more likely now to have that energy of being wiped out and just wanting to go home and chill or just deal with the family pressures that we have. So work is always on our phone. Work is always in our minds. And it makes us feel like we never really have a chance to disconnect. So when that's the case, what is really, really important is having rituals. A ritual is a regular time slot of getting together. It's very, very hard for anybody that sent out a group email or group text and tries to get a group of friends together. You know that it's very difficult to make schedules match. We are in a busy culture. And that's probably not going to change. But one antidote to a busy culture is regularly getting together by having what I call an opt-out event on the calendar. What's an opt-out event? An opt-out event is something that's a reoccurring event on the calendar. Could be once every month, could be once every week, like this group of guys that I get together with. It could be every couple weeks just to check in with each other. An opt-out event is something that's reoccurring on the calendar. And really, you just let or check in with the group. It could even be one person. You let them know if you can't make it. So it's just expected that you will get together on this time, on the calendar. But you only let everybody know if you can't get together then. Now, you won't always get together when you have an opt-out event on the calendar. But it's more likely if it's reoccurring that you will regularly get together, more likely than not. If you just leave it up to happenstance, if you just leave getting together with your deep and meaningful relationships up to the schedules of everyone, the challenge with it is the following. Number one, there's usually one person in the group who's always the leader in getting everybody together. Hey everyone, it's been a while since we've gotten together. Let's get together. And it always falls on that individual. when you have an opt-out event on the calendar, even if it's three people getting together for coffee and checking in and talking about life, it takes the pressure off of just one person to check in. The second thing that's there is having something to look forward to, even if it's every other month, creates a sense of internal belonging that no matter how hard this week is going to be, we have something to look forward to where we can talk about it with our friends coming up. That's connection right there. That is understanding right there. Resilience isn't avoiding stress at all costs in every aspect of our life. Resilience is knowing that even if we go through a stressful week or challenging time, that we have the strength to get through it. And a big part of the strength to get through it is the community that supports us. So we started off the podcast by talking about the big picture stats of why we're in an epidemic of loneliness. Maybe you related to it. If you're listening this far, you probably did. I definitely did it many times in my life, feeling not understood, misunderstood, or not having a deep sense of connection. Yes, awareness is part of it. And that's what we're doing in this podcast, but we also need to know what to do. Those are five ways that I have created deep, meaningful relationships and ritual in my life that has radically impacted my mental health for the better. I want to hear from you about ways or suggestions that you have. You can text me 302-335-6565. It's been fun to interact with many of you. Hear your ideas, thoughts, feedback on the podcast. It's been truly, truly beautiful to chat with so many of you. There's a lot of you that I haven't responded to yet. I'm slowly working on it, but I just want to say thank you for reaching out for those who did. If this podcast made a difference for you, if this podcast made you feel more present to the topic of loneliness, if this podcast gave you some practical tips or tools, I would love you to do one of two things. Leave a review. That would mean the world. More importantly, more than a review, share this podcast with a friend. Share this podcast with somebody who you think might enjoy it. Somebody that might be struggling with loneliness. Somebody who wants to have deeper, more meaningful friendships in their life. If it could be of value to them, that would be fantastic. This is Drew Perrott here. Broken Brain, I appreciate you for being here. Big Idea Tuesday, wrapping up. Thank you. Have a beautiful week. I'll see you back on Thursday.